Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to With Insights. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, streaming live on the World Wide Web, on withinsightsradio.com, on the Blog Talk Radio Network. For the next 60 minutes, we will be learning about With Insights. All our friends on this show have something to share, something to give. So I want you to sit back and relax, fasten your seatbelts, and let's get ready for the ride.
Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, E. Garcia. I am streaming live here on the World Wide Web at Garcia's International Restaurant, my family's restaurant that we've had for over 36 years. Just want to welcome everybody to a beautiful raining Monday here in Columbus, Ohio. Raindrops are falling on my head. I'm enjoying it. Actually, I remember the other day I was talking to my sister. I said, yeah, we haven't had any rain. And I was thinking what Greg Braden says when he learned how to make it rain. He actually went with a Native American person who taught him even how to make it rain. And he goes, well, we're going to do some kind of dance, whatever. And the guy says, just be patient. They went into this field and they saw this thing and, I don't know, some kind of artifact. And it took like a matter of 2 seconds. And then they walked back and they left. And Greg Braden was just like, wow, what just happened? You know, and he asked the guy, you know, hey, what's going on? I thought we were going to do a ceremony for rain. He goes, we did. He goes, you did? He goes, yeah, we did. The only thing we had to do is feel the feelings, think the feelings of what it was to have rain. And I kind of did that the other day. I'm not saying I made it rain, but I might be one of the many people who contributed to the rain today. I thought the feelings of rain hitting my body. I thought the rain's watering the plants. And I woke up to a pleasant surprise today. I was a big smile on my face and thinking, wow, it rained. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it. So anyhow, hope everybody's doing okay today. We're just chilling here. Rose will be here shortly and kicking back and relaxing. Yesterday was my daughter's graduation party with her friend Lauren. It was a combined party. The two girls decided, well, you know what, we're best friends and we're going to share this time, this opportunity to, you know, and bring both families together. Both families worked diligently and hard to put together a nice little, you know, how do you say, after reunion, the next week after party for the kids. And got a tents for them, cake, you know, hamburgers, dogs. And then all family members showed up. And of course, our friends showed up and our family showed up. And they all dropped in the little jars envelope. The, you know, the cards and thank yous and the money. And I remember the girls at the end of the party going, oh, yeah, Markel, let's go upstairs and count our money. It was pretty funny. It was cute. So they still have that sense of innocence and, you know, what life is like. So it was pleasant. It was nice. You know, got to sit there and relax. Got to see Susie's parents and got to meet the different, you know, aspects and different people who were involved in putting things together. And it was nice. It was a nice party. Really enjoyed it. And then after that, we decided to go see a movie, The Huntsman. Snow White and The Huntsman is what it was, sorry. Yeah, that was a pretty interesting movie. It was kind of rushed along, I thought, personally, in my opinion, but I think it was a very, very thing. And as Rosa comes into the studio.
Hello.
She's popped in. She's here. Hey. Your mic's on.
Okay, great. I won't mute myself. Hi, everybody.
Just talking about yesterday, the graduation party, and how nice it was, and all the families working together, and then kind of moved in right into
the movie
that we saw, the Snow White movie. It was kind of an interesting, you know, movie. Not as holistic as the
Men in Black 3.
Men in Black 3, I think personally, but
right,
it had its thing.
It's not holistic, but it was very a lot of fantasy and a lot of fantastical moments.
With a little, you know, it's funny, you know, that stag in the movie, and that big white stag. I have that in my medicine pouch, a stag like
oh,
that.
Oh, do you? Wow.
I have to show it to you.
I got really, part of the movie, when they were in the enchanted forest, if you will, without giving it too much away, I loved all the visual stimulus. I actually had a hard time getting to bed last night because I was just visually stimulated and like stimulated a part of me that wants to be active. So I love all that nature, the scenes of nature. I even like the really scary parts of the forest, the dark forest.
Oh yeah, with the magic mushrooms.
With the mushrooms and stuff like that. I like all that. So
that's cool.
The special effects that was involved with that.
Yeah, they had really good effects. So I thought it was pretty good.
I thought the Charlize Theron did a really good job.
Yeah, and the acting was okay. I don't know. I just maybe it's just the genre that just didn't quite fit some of the characters. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the choice for Snow White was I was a hard time with the actress from Twilight. Kirsten, whatever her name is.
Yeah, I know you're talking about Bella.
Yeah. I had a hard time relating with her as Snow White for some reason. Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably because my mind's already kind of thought of her as, you know, Bella in Twilight. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to get out of that mode and see her as a different actress. She's been really typecast for Bella in those roles. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It was kind of odd, too. It didn't fit for me. It wasn't like a good Bella. I agree with you on that.
So there was something weird with that. I'm glad that she got an opportunity to do that because she had an opportunity to kind of expand her career a little bit in a different way.
Right, right.
And see that, you know, how she might act in different ways. But yeah, it was overall it was really very stimulating movie. But yeah, very good. It's been we were talking about how it hasn't rained here in Columbus.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Last night, you're like, did you talk about that?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
I told you I said it hasn't rained.
And I was thinking about you on the way to work because I had some raindrops fall on my car. I'm like, Iggy probably did some type of rain dance or something.
Didn't I say that? That's exactly what I said. I said exactly that to the T.
Did you?
It's funny you would say that because, you know, I remember when Greg Braden actually mentioned that in one of his audiobooks that I was listening to.
Uh-huh.
They went to, he was with this Native American guy.
Okay.
And he wanted to learn how to make it rain dance for some reason.
Yes.
And it turns out that they walked into this cornfield and it was like this wheel or whatever it is. And the Native American guy walked up to it and said something and then walked away. And then it was just like a matter of 2-3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg Braden was like,
okay.
Are we done? Is that it? You know, and they walked back and he's, you know, scratching his head, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that there's supposed to be this magical, you know, what you should call it, rain dance or chant or whatever.
Okay.
And then the guy goes, well, you know, honestly, all you have to do is just think of rain.
Mm-hmm.
And what rain, what it looks like, what it feels like, and how it hits your body. Just mm-hmm. all the aspects of rain.
Right.
And I kind of did that, you know, yesterday. I was thinking, I was going, rain. That's why I said rain. And I was thinking what rain does and everything.
Right.
You know, instead of just asking the universe, and I was like, so I was telling online,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm sure I had some effect on it somewhere, at some level. Maybe I was the last person to think rain.
To think rain, and it just tipped the scale creating rain as a collective, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe the collective has different numbers that, you know, it works with, mathematical numbers.
Right.
It's waiting for that 99th person or 100th person to say rain. You know, I don't know.
Mm.
But, you know, in my mind, I think it.
You think it has something to do with it?
I contributed to
that. I was chuckling this morning. I'm like, I bet Iggy did something. But he was doing some type of, we were just talking about it. It was just serendipitous, you know. You know how I am, always looking for, not always looking, but, you know, something kind of hits my mind. I'm like, oh, you know.
But it's funny that you brought that up. That was pretty good, how people are connected and how they think about each other, you know, like that. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get touched by the rain. I haven't really noticed because I don't have a yard or anything. I live in an apartment, so I didn't really notice. And the parks that I've been going to, it's all like wood and stuff, wooded. So I think nature's probably doing really well as far as not really having a lot of drought at this point, but we really did need the rain.
It was pretty cool, you know, because it wasn't raining really hard this morning. It was just like drizzling.
Right.
But I didn't give it much thought. I just kind of like took my ego out of it.
I don't even know if it
and
rained.
And all of a sudden,
lot.
It was just like.
Oh, it did rain a lot. Okay.
It rained really
like
hard.
Like I've been in an office all day, so I don't.
And then Gabe and his friends came to move the dirt, and I felt so bad.
Oh.
Because it got really muddy and stuff. And
did they get really dirty and muddy and all?
Oh, I don't know. I just kind of left them there. They were doing their thing, and it was just funny.
Yes, that is funny.
But it rained, so it was nice. We needed it. My trees, my plants, and everything are like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. So very good.
So what's new on your end?
Just pretty much the same. You know, we spent the weekend pretty much together. We celebrated, as you probably shared, Poppy's birthday.
No, I never got that far.
You didn't share that we had Poppy celebrated his 60th
birthday. The tinfoil hat party.
Oh, yeah. The
Gemini
tinfoil. Yes, the tinfoil hat party here at Gers.
Mm-hmm.
And the Poppy's party. We had some wonderful Peruvian food, Peruvian chicken and papalawancaina. Our mom made some Peruvian-style fried rice.
Yeah, that was really good.
Los Chalfa, Cantonese fried rice.
All the chicken got eaten.
So. Yeah, I have some chicken upstairs, so I'm going to eat some chicken. Yeah, we actually are preparing for our trip to Red River Gorge, so we went out to High Banks yesterday and had our packs on. You know, I had the 30 pounds or whatever, close to 30 pounds. Ben had his close to 60 pounds or whatever that he's taking. So I'm glad that we did that because it was hot yesterday. So
yes,
I looked at it like that could be one of the worst case scenarios, that it could be really, really hot on our camping trip, and I wanted to prepare my body for it. So I just realized that, you know, my body really needs a lot more water. And that when I went through that exercise of, you know, the camping and stuff, the simulation hike, if you will, I didn't take my camel pack with me. It's a little pack that you have water in, you can just sip out of. I didn't do that. I had my water bottles in the actual backpack, but that's not really convenient because you have to stop and go out and get your water and, you know. So other than that, you know, it was just a really, really good weekend, packed weekend. I just don't know where the time goes. It just goes
so fast.
Yeah, it goes fast. Goes really quick.
We kind of talked about Marcel's birthday party and stuff.
Graduation?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Did I say birthday party?
Yeah.
Oh, I meant to say graduation party.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's kind of a birthday party.
Well, yeah, it's definitely a celebration, that's for sure. And, so that was
It's funny how everything was going on during the party.
Uh-huh.
And that I didn't realize all the dynamics they were playing out during the party.
Yeah.
And I guess it turns out that Marco and Lauren were trying to, excuse me, never got really to sleep that night because they were trying to help a friend who almost overdosed on
alcohol. I know.
And this whole time I was just oblivious to what was going on. And you know, it was good to listen to Markel today when she was talking how she impacted some people's lives and, you know, just, you know, the things that you teach your kids come into play. It was just a good thing.
Yeah, she shared with me some of the, and I was just like, she's, if I'm feeling out of it, Aunt Rosa, it's because of this. I'm like, oh, wow, that's quite an eventful weekend for you. Not being able to sleep and helping somebody through that situation. And the thing is, you know, the person that they were helping is 14 years old.
Yeah.
Same age as my son. And it makes me think about, wow, you know, the parent, it was a situation where the parents weren't home. They went out of town. The child was left home alone. And they had a party. And they just kind of overdid it. But it makes you, you know, realize how accessible, and we did our stuff in the day, too.
Sure.
But, you know. Just get you thinking.
But it could have been a really bad situation.
It just gets you thinking in a different way, you know, like, wow, it's, you know, you just...
It was sad because if everybody would have left like they did, no one knows what would have really happened.
He could have died,
a blessing that the girls were involved enough to help this young man because I think it would have been a much worse case scenario.
Well, Marcus said he was they didn't stay by his side. They weren't sure if he was going to...
Yeah, I don't know. It's because, you know, you get alcohol toxicity, and then your body, it takes a lot for it to, you know, save you out of it because, I mean, he was out cold and, you know, he didn't know where he was, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's just one of those things that I share with my kids when I coach soccer is to tell the parents, know where your kids are all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my main things on my list. I learned from another coach from the high school who taught me, don't assume that your kids are going to be responsible. Don't assume because they're 14 or 15 or 16 or 18 that they know what the heck they're doing.
Exactly.
You know, make them accountable. Make everybody. If no one's home at the house, call the parents. Say, hey, you know what? I heard you're having a party. I want to make sure there's an adult there. Is there going to be an adult there? I've called.
Mm-hmm.
The adults are, oh, we're just going out to dinner. I'm like, nah, my son's not coming over. I'm sorry. Oh, but it's going to be. No. If there's no adult supervision, my kids don't go. I never sent my kids.
Right.
If they went and didn't tell me, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I made it a really big priority in my life, also being a coach, you know, of young men and women, that, you know, they're not as mature as we think they are. Even though we may say, oh, yeah, my kid's mature, I've said it. But they're not. You know, they have a lot to learn.
Exactly.
When the cat's gone, the mice come out to play.
Absolutely.
And that's that old saying.
Right.
So, you know, I stress out there to parents, you know, and I'm not here to parent you, parents, but,
no.
You know, just know where your kids are, you know, make them accountable to you.
Absolutely. You know, we're talking about, you know, how, and the thing is, it's a really interesting scenario because, you know, as teenagers, you know, we've all been there. We know everything. We know everything there is now. Our parents are stupid. Our teachers don't know anything. Nobody knows anything. We know everything that, you know, what are you talking about, Mom? You don't know what you're talking about. That kind of thing. So
right.
I think that the kids, they want the response. They want to be adults. They want to make decisions and choices for themselves. But they're still in the stage where they're not really fully realizing the responsibility that's involved with making some of the choices that they're making, the impact of what could happen. They don't maybe see that far ahead. Yes, you might know everything, but, you know, you might know everything from your perspective, which I can understand. Being a teenager once, like you.
Well, you know, I remember my son, my oldest son, he was, 19? And he was either at the wrong place or at the right time or whatever, however you want to look at that. And the police came and raided the guy's house that he was at and arrested everybody. Mm-hmm. The parents were out of town. Same scenario, similar scenario, except, you know, some kids got away and some didn't. And this particular situation, you know, my son was hiding behind a washing machine. I don't know why he was hiding, but that's just how he felt. That's what, you know, that flight.
Fight, freeze, facade.
Yeah. And I think that's where he was at that moment in time. And,
right.
You know, he had to go to counseling. He had to go, you know, unfortunately in this United States, it's 21 and older, you know, and you
mm-hmm.
drink. I mean, I'm not here to say it's right or wrong. I'm just saying, you know.
Right.
Sometimes as parents, we have more power than we think we do.
We do. And, you know, I think that there's a, in a lot of cultures, they have what they call a rite of passage,
mm-hmm.
where the child steps into this realm of taking on responsibility for themselves, where they're no longer they're taking more responsibility for their life because they want to make these decisions for themselves. There's like a ritual that happens in some societies
right.
where a rite of passage basically says, you know what, we've taught you, here are our values, we presented them to you. Now, you say you're an adult, you say you've reached the point of maturity where you can make your own decisions, be responsible for yourself, for having your own values, is what I'm saying, more than likely, not necessarily being responsible, going out and getting a job. I'm saying creating your identity of who you are as this person at this given moment in time.
Right.
To write a passage of going on and so forth. I think that, you know, in our society, I think a lot of things, you know, that there is,
We have rites of passage, but they're just very different than maybe a lot of countries. You know, everybody has their types of rites of passages, but we're such a big culture and big country that rite of passage is different for everybody.
It's homogenous. It's not really like acknowledged. You know what I'm
right.
saying? It's you know, if because I've been thinking about this because someone approached me to do a rite of passage ceremony for their daughter
mm-hmm.
and some other women. And I've been thinking about what that really means, the rite of passage. You know, what does that mean to you? So.
Yeah, you know, like I said, we have so much diversity in this country that a rite of passage is never going to be the same for everybody.
True.
You know, in some cultures, the rite of passage is always the same
mm-hmm.
at some level, some degree. Like
every culture is.
Quinceañera, because
yeah.
rite of passage
mm-hmm.
is, you know, you turn 15.
Mm-hmm.
And the closest thing that we have is Sweet 16.
Right.
You know?
The Sweet 16 birthday party.
And a lot of Spanish cultures, it's 15, you know, you're
mm-hmm.
you're a woman.
Right.
So that's one type of rite of passage. And you know, there's all kinds of rite of passages.
Mm-hmm.
Naming
yeah.
ceremonies. But, you know, I don't see that too much here in this country.
I don't either. But they, you know, again, I've been doing a little bit of research on the topic of itself,
mm-hmm.
and I was trying to figure out if we have a rite of passage. I'm thinking that a rite of passage could be when somebody gets their driver's license. At age 16, it's legal mm-hmm. for them to get their driver's license. They go through training to get the schooling and the classes that are required. That's the closest thing that I can think of.
Right.
You know? But
right. Well, maybe one of our callers will be able to enlighten us with something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a right to get a license. You know, it's a privilege to have a license in this
it
country,
is.
You know.
And a right of passage is it's a privilege, or is it something that you just automatically get? I mean, at what point is it associated with an age?
Right.
You know, is it associated with age and puberty and how your body develops and you're physically on the outside developing into a woman or a man? What's happening on the inside? Are you still a child? Many of us adults are children, like as far as our emotional IQ, if you will,
right.
is very still stuck in age 6, 7, 2, whatever years of age. So I'm thinking, you know, how do we, thinking about creating a rite of passage for adults.
Right.
To,
well, hold that thought right there. Let's go to a break and come right back. Okay?
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
You are listening to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, with Rosa Bell Garcia. You're heard live in Columbus, Ohio, on the World Wide Web. Floating through outer space, the universe, touching everything and everyone.
Focus with you, Rosa. What do you mean, touching everyone? That's the thought.
Making a difference in the universe.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, we were talking about rite of passages, so let's get one of our callers on here and see where they're at. Have quite a few people online, so
okay.
Be patient, folks. We will get you on.
It's an interesting thought topic
yeah.
for the day.
Here we go.
Hello, caller.
614-371. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. This is Heather.
Oh, hi, Heather. How are you?
I'm good.
I thought I recognized that number.
I was.
You have a question for us?
Well, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the topic you were addressing earlier about parents and drinking and communication, because I actually am working with a writer who wrote his story down, and his goal is to get it in school systems, so it's a preventative tool to prevent excess abuse and drugs and alcohol. And so I was just kind of curious, you know, not having kids of my own, and when's it a good time to start that conversation and some thoughts about that? Because at 14, that's scary, you know.
Well, if you want my honest personal opinion, the sooner the better. I mean, because when you wait to 14, I think that's too late at that point, personally.
I personally think it's too late, too, because, number one, you're in high school, or you could be in high school at 14, and I think as soon as like when they start talking about sexual education, I think it falls around the same topic. I think those two topics could somehow be interwoven. And I know that a lot of times they start talking about those things like in fifth grade, which is like 10 or 11 years of age. I know that might sound young, but it's really the parents, up to the parents, number one. But my personal opinion, having two boys and two totally different boys type of personalities, I think that start talking about those things sooner than later, because the thing is, you still have a lot of influence over your children when they're younger, you know. As they get older, you know, you have less influence over them, and they're more influenced by their peers and what's happening in school, in my opinion. I'm not an expert in this, but that's what I think.
Well, what I think too is we make things taboo.
Yes.
And that's I think causes a little bit more enticing.
What you
kids.
Resist, you persist.
You're right.
Persist?
Like when kids you tell kids, oh, don't drink. You shouldn't be drinking. Oh, it's bad for you. No one's saying drinking is bad for you. No one's saying that drinking will kill you.
There's a positive and negative consequence
yes,
to everything
for
in life.
But I think what happens is we make it a taboo. We make it into something that it's not touchable. You can't access it. We can't do it.
We attach
shame. Well, of course,
what's
the first thing kids are going to do? They're going to say, well, why? Let's see. It's temptation here, you know.
Absolutely.
Oh, my parents think it's wrong, you know. So.
What do my parents know? My gosh, because, you know, when you start at that age, you start to be, you know, create starting to form an identity for yourself,
sure.
you think you know everything, you know, as a little whippersnapper, you know, start 13, 14 years old.
In the restaurant business, so it's a little different. We've
right.
been around alcohol since we were like 12, so it's like, and we've seen everybody drinking and stumbling, and it's like, well, you know, I really don't want to do that, emulate that. You know, something
right.
you don't want to emulate. I never strived to be a drunkard.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, that's just me personally, but
mm-hmm.
I've had my few drinks here and there, but you know what, personally, it's just like.
Right. I mean, our situation is a little different. So, you know, when is a good time, Heather? You know, I think the sooner the better, but again, too soon is all, it may not even have an impact. So I think it's something that is a, I guess you have to, it depends on the child, too. If the child is mature enough where you can start talking
Listen,
about this.
Yeah. Some kids you can start, and some kids you can't.
One of the thoughts ahead, I had is, I was just going to say, my family didn't talk about it. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, my mom drank. That was the joke, you know, vodka martini on the rocks, the twist and the olive. And the pattern was never spoken about. The family history is never spoken about. And it was this taboo subject, this whole, like, thing of shame
mm-hmm.
that I think she held on to, my dad held on to because of his dad and the beatings and all that. And so it was almost like this topic that I... you know, encouraging Robert to try to incorporate is how do we address the shame that the parent might be holding on to even initiate conversation with the child? How does that work?
Good question.
Well, that's true. But, you know, I want to bring up a visual for people. We teach our kids not to talk to strangers. We teach our kids not to, you know, to cross the street when the light's red. We teach our kids the basic necessities, you know, of life. We teach people to, you know, hey, you know what, be cautious. That we don't really teach our kids. I think at some level, parents should have the ultimate role of teaching their kids, you know, hey, you know what, this is what how I perceive things. But we don't have, our parents have a lot of skills. Some parents don't have that skill because never learned it. You're just making a good point. You
Very
know, it was taboo.
Point.
It wasn't taught in the home.
Exactly.
But what if we teach the next generation to, you know, hey, you know what, no one's saying drinking is bad. No one's saying that this is bad. I mean, driving a car with smoke exhaust is bad too, you know. But
right.
the point is to teach people, young people, the consequences of things.
Yeah.
You know.
And what it physically does to your body, how it affects your body, you know, why, you know, and what are, again, and the consequences, you know, hey, you know, if you want to drink, this is some positive consequences, this is some negative consequences. I think that, you know, I was talking to somebody at work today, and they have kids too, and I was telling, I was sharing with my coworker, one of my philosophies is what I can do best because, again, my kids know everything.
Yeah.
You know, they know everything.
Yes.
And the best thing that I can do is teach my kids a way of thinking that, you know, if you know everything, then what's the positive, what's the negative consequence of that? You know, that's the best thing, tool that I can teach my kids because not only does that help you for yourself, it gives you your power. Okay, be informed. If you want power, you know, absolute power corrupts. Be informed as to what it means to have this responsibility to know everything, you
right.
know. So understand the consequences. That's the best thing that we can do as parents is show them the light and the shadow aspect of everything because everything has a light and shadow. Because
everything.
If you try to go in there and scare your kids and tell them that you're going to die if you do, you know, drink two beers or whatever, they're going to sniff a lie. They're going to know intuitively that that just doesn't sound right and
sure.
it's not right, and then they're going to get misinformed at school or they might get, you know what I'm saying? I said be truthful
yeah.
with your kids, be truthful with your kids.
I mean, we
can.
Send our kids to school, you know what, 6 hours a day.
Yes.
And we expect, and what do we expect?
Do we expect?
I mean, what do we expect some
right.
other people teaching our kids their value systems? And that's my opinion. That's,
we,
I'm just,
we really
this
are.
Is just my perception.
Teaching
you
your
know?
Kids how to think for themselves
yeah.
in a
well,
way.
You know, here you are, you have total strangers.
Yep.
Even though they're the teachers, they're total strangers.
You make a very good point.
And they're teaching your kids the value of life. And they're teaching your
from
kids
their value system.
From their books. They're teaching you everything that society wants them to learn. And, you know, that's the agreement. That's the contract you made. I've made that contract.
Yes.
I sent my kids to the public schools.
Absolutely. Or even if you send them to private school, you're still someone else is still having direct influence over your kids for 6 hours
well,
a day.
Absolutely. That's why we have this system that we're in. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I can tell you stories, but we won't get into that today. But, you know, it's just...
Right.
You have people who maybe are not functional who have never had kids either, you know, because or never had any insight, you know, what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things you have to think about. I don't think people really think about it. Okay, I'm sending my kids to this system. to learn this system that I learned, but the system hopefully has improved. Has it improved? I don't know.
I don't either.
It's a weird thing. I think about that sometimes.
Very interesting. Very interesting question.
Do you think it's better then to focus his target market at penetrating the school system? Or my thought was getting to the organizations and the churches where we can get in front of more actual parents. What or both?
Well, what I'm thinking is if your friend wants to get in front of people, well, you, of course, it has to be a community effort. You can't just alienate schools, can't alienate churches. You've got to, if you're going to promote this stuff, you got to get to the people who have children. You got to get to the people who are potentially going to have children. So I think your market is very big, not just limited to and that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people who are thinking about it. There are people who maybe just want to work with kids. So it's not just one of those things. I think when we segregate and when we divide and just put into certain categories, well, we limit the other group out. The other group, you know, too, because they understand that we have more understand youth. We have more understanding about people, where they're coming from, how they're thinking. I think sometimes marketing is too targeted sometimes, you know. And I think sometimes, but this topic is very, not a vague topic. This is a very serious topic. This is a very poignant topic where it affects everybody.
Topic.
Because remember, every youth that is not touched will affect our outcome in our future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're 20% of our population, but they're 100% of our future.
Absolutely.
So whatever we teach the children today, they will emulate tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so obviously, in Iggy's point of view and perception, we're not teaching too well. We keep going to war and thinking it's going to fix things. We keep killing more people. We kill people, our people. We kill their people. We kill their people. We kill our people.
Right.
I mean, quite frankly, when's it going to end? You know, I mean, I totally think the troops for defending our rights, but whose interests are you defending this, you know? I mean, it's a bigger problem, you know. The thing is, we have to teach our children the values of what it is about life. Life is so disvalued right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we look at things on TV and are like, oh, that's over there. That doesn't affect me. Our kids play these video games. Oh, that's just a video game. We'll just reset it. I talk to kids all the time, and they believe that that life is like a video game. Oh, yeah, whatever. I'll get over it. Yeah, you know, it's different. I don't know what our future is going to be like. I'm going to be an old man with a lot of these kids that I've coached will have some effect of my future and their future.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that maybe our politicians one day will wake up and say, hey, you know what? But it's not, because it's a big business. Everything's business. Everything's a sell. Everybody wants to sell somebody, something, someone, sometime, someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like I said, these are my opinions, so you don't have to agree with me, but this is how I perceive things sometimes, you know. No matter where you go, someone's trying to pump you something, information, or someone's trying to tell you something about something. So it's the kind of, that's just in the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's going to tell you about their religion. Someone's going to tell you about their way of life, their spirituality. They're going to tell you about the best taco they had. They're going to tell you about the nice soft drink they had. They're going to tell you about their church, my church, her church. You know, we can't get away from that. It's just one of those things that the human nature is to share. We're sharers.
Yeah.
We like to share.
Yeah.
The question is, what are we sharing? Does it raise the conscious of the universe? Does it raise the conscious of this planet? Does it make it a better place for us to live? When someone finds our ashes in our time capsules after this planet is gone, are we a good reflection of who we were as a race of people?
You know, Iggy, I'm going to play the devil's advocate on that too, which I happen to agree with a lot of what you said. You know, sometimes it does take war. Sometimes it does take a tremendous amount of crisis and conflict so that we can rise to a higher consciousness. Sometimes we forget that, and that's the hope that as, as human beings that we have, is that, you know, yeah, we do have all the conflict. We do still have conflict. We still have war.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the hope is that there can be a great deal of learning that can be had from those experiences, as Heather was describing with her friend's situation, or somebody that she's sharing about, had a, you know, very difficult life, if you will, and plunged very deep in the abyss of consciousness, if you will. If he had to go, you know, rate on a scale of 1 to 10, he's probably down there as a 1 or 0, who knows.
Yeah, but at what point does consciousness and the collective say, we've had enough?
Well, the thing is, it's all on an individual basis. It's all an individual because it's the one of the all in the one.
True.
So it's on an individual basis. Suffering does awaken us
mm-hmm.
at some level. Whether we choose to path of holisticness, metaphysics, or Christianity, or Buddhism, or whatnot,
mm-hmm.
it does awaken people. Crisis, pain, fear, challenges, it gets your attention. It's your body, it's your life, it's your human nature's way of saying that I'm ready to become conscious. That's
right.
how I look at life.
Very
I'm
good.
Ready
yeah.
to become more conscious. So, yeah, sometimes as a collective, where we're at as a collective war is necessary. And I know a lot of people might hear this and say, wow. But remember, everything has purpose.
Sure.
Everything has meaning. Even the war, even the suffering, even the drunkardness of the 14-year-old that almost died. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All that is to awaken to this consciousness.
Absolutely.
We
sometimes
all have
we
our individual wars.
Absolutely, sure. we do. Every day. Everybody. All of us.
Right,
thank you, guys. Thank you so
in.
Much.
We appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, one thing as a society is it's important to, you know, look at things that are challenging us. Well, I will invite people into a space to look at things that are challenging us from a different light, because oftentimes, you know, we can get really stuck in our space of this is bad, this is good,
mm-hmm.
you know, finding a place of less extreme and trying to embrace things for what they are. They all serve something. All my relations, right? They all serve a purpose in your life. It's mm-hmm. our job, if you choose, you know, to go on that path, to find yeah. out how that serves you.
Right. Yeah, it's a journey. It's sometimes I'm like,
Oh, I get frustrated too. Trust me, I've got a teenager and one preteen. So it's like, oh my gosh. And,
like,
you know,
oof.
I'm thinking, you know, for me, is like I sometimes will use humor and laugh about things when I tell the story to just
mm-hmm.
make it, for me, serious, because I can get really intense, kind of like you just did with in the moment of, wow,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
I was intense.
Really sucks.
I'm just joking.
I'm sharing.
I know.
Sharing how you feel, and I think it's important.
Absolutely.
And I was trying to discount you in any way.
No. That's why we talked
about
these
things. I hope you didn't take it that way.
No, absolutely not.
It's
that's why we have this forum. This is what we talk, and this, you know, the universe puts us on this path to listen. And I hear what you're saying, and I value what you say because it's very important to me.
Absolutely.
And
as do I.
Well, let's move on to the next caller.
Yeah, let's do that.
Please, you want to scare them away.
Yes. I did pull a card for
484-732.
Go ahead.
Here.
Hi. I definitely have a comment, and I was wondering if I could also get a little spiritual insight as well.
Sure. Let's hear your comment. What's your name?
Please. My name is Marilyn, and
Marilyn, welcome.
Thank you very much. I have a teenager, and definitely can, and I'm a single mom as well, and I can definitely say with lots and lots of study that, you know, what is impacting absolutely everything, every human, every age, everywhere, and the planet, of course, is our current global state of consciousness. So if we can all work in any and every way that we can find to raise that vibration, do more, think more, say more out of love instead of the opposite
mm-hmm.
fear, it's going to automatically pull everything along. I absolutely agree with everything that you guys have said on the kid granular level and the parents and the teachers and all that. But when we step away from all of it, what's going on the global corporate level with our resources and how people and planet are being managed, we look at our kids, we look at how parents are parenting, how teachers are teaching, everything, communications, everything is around getting more. And if you took away all the money in the world, it would be whatever else is of value, the gold or the cow dung or what, you know, it's not about the money. It's about the
Absolutely.
Human consciousness. That's what
mm-hmm.
it all boils down to. We raise that and all of this other stuff goes away.
Beautiful.
But I think that's why we're all here. No pain, no gain.
That's right. Definitely pain.
There, yeah.
I like pain.
Well, we have to
maybe
be.
That's the one thing.
We signed up for this, remember. Many people don't, you know, we signed up for this experience. And, you know, we are very creative beings to come up with some really creative ideas.
I didn't sign up for that.
You didn't sign up for that?
For that.
Oh, for that.
You did.
What's next, huh?
We're in one big energy ball.
Yes,
we
are.
So we are all raising the vibe of the tribe or pulling it down. So, you know,
no, you
we
know
want
what?
The
light
to get
lighter. Very good reminder.
The light is strong. You know,
I do
because
believe the light is
quite
strong.
Frankly, we could be in much worse.
Listen to this. We've got Marilyn on the phone, and she's light.
Beautiful.
And sharing her beautiful insight. This is what the show's about, Marilyn, with insights. Everyone has valuable, precious insight to share.
Well, just the energy between the three of us right now has expanded
globally.
Yeah.
It is expanding.
This is great. I feel
healing.
Much better.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very tingly on my feet. So good.
You had a question.
You did want to be able to answer.
Thank
you for sharing that.
That will help
very
you
good.
Find some insights on that. No, you might have to repeat it.
Was that the insight that you wanted to? That was the insight Marilyn wanted to share. Was there something that you wanted some insight on?
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's like Shoemaker's Child. always good to get the external, well, in this case, the spiritual perspective on what's going on, you know, in my life. And I was wondering if there's anything that you guys are picking up in terms of messages or healings from spirit as to my family, my work, career, anything at all would be lovely.
All right.
Go ahead, Iggy.
This is a great card. I actually pulled the seal card. The seal card represents imagination. Immerse yourself in the artistic and creative expression.
Nice.
Okay, this card is, I love this card because imagination is everything. Imagination creates everything that we see in front of us, everything that we can possibly touch. Imagination is endless, timeless. It's infinity.
It is infinity.
Creation.
Of all the things that, But it's cool. I love this card too because it spirit's asking you to immerse yourself into whatever imaginative thing that you have been working on or something that you really want to focus on, and to be artistic and creative about that expression. Don't hold back. I guess what this good card is saying, because when you look at the seal, when he's in the water or she's in the water, she just flows.
Yeah.
It just dances this beautiful dance. It cuts through the water like it's not even there. It can jump and can swim, but then when the seal has to rest, it comes onto the land, you know, and it's kind of cumbersome, and it's back to its awkwardness. But it needs the land as well. It needs to ground there for a few, even though it's in the creativity of the water flowing through the water. So what I'm picking up for you is this energetic flow that maybe more cleansing with water on yourself, taking a bath alone and with some rose petals and some candles and, you know, whatever you like to drink, of course, and just take time for yourself and relax a little bit and think about things that you haven't really thought about in a while. And things that spirits tell me, Rosa.
Yeah. You know, when you were sharing that, I kept on hearing dreams. You know, what is your dream? What did you dream about when you're a young woman? You know, what did you dream? What were your dreams? Reconnecting with those ideas and possibilities that you can dream with as well. I pulled a card for you from the Wisdom of Avalon card, the Colette Baron Reed deck. The card that was selected for you is the Raven card. And the Raven is about magic, coincidence, synchronistic events. So when the Raven card appears, it's a sign of magic, where coincidence and divine synchronicity bring surprising elements together. So the Raven reminds you that on the path to wholeness, the magic of Avalon appears to all things, and all things can become possible. So be aware of the synchronistic coincidence, and it's just basically an unfolding of God, Goddess, in your life. So that is what Spirit wanted to share with you in this particular moment in time.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
Like
thank you both.
I thank you for sharing your thoughts with us earlier, too. That really opened me up a little bit,
it's
too.
It's lovely. It's so...
Just remember, we're always here to create a rise in the vibe of the tribe. That's the new motto.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate that.
Very cool.
Thanks, you guys are definitely
for calling
doing
in.
That. Thank you so much.
Thank
Be
you.
Well.
Thank you.
Be well. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
That was awesome.
Very good. Do we have another caller?
Yeah,
okay.
We have more callers, yeah. I like
Do you
want to
talk
like
more about
that? Because
okay.
It's, you know, sometimes we get caught up in our own story.
Yeah, you think?
But the story is interconnected with everybody's
Isn't it
story.
Interesting how everyone's story, I believe, is interconnected in some way?
Mm-hmm.
And remember that commercial? Is it like the Allstate commercial with a guy? He runs it, rear ends another guy, and he goes, the guy comes out and says, I don't know, he says, like, we're all one. He's like, oh, I'm not all one. Oh, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen that commercial.
That one.
Okay. Yeah. So I thought that was
funny.
Well,
what?
And the guy's like, well, we are connected because you guys ran into each other. Somehow you are connected.
I can see where you're going with that.
But
So what you're saying.
Even though some people don't want to, cannot see that we're connected, we are all connected, whether you like it or not,
and
I guess.
The guy or the girl sitting next to you on the bus.
Everyone.
So when you're sitting there going, and don't want to touch elbows, by, you know, I mean, there's this energy there. You can feel it.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're on a plane, too, with somebody.
And I remind myself that, you know, and I use that as a tool for myself when I feel very, like I'm in a judgmental state.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone judges. And I mean, the best of us do. I judge all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I'm triggered or I judge somebody or based on whatever, whether it's their body odor, their outward appearance, what they're eating or something, whatever they're doing, I'll have a moment of judgment. I'll be like, wait, you know what? That's me too. And I don't make it like, I quickly get out of my own story by saying, that's me. So do you want to look at that, Rosa? Do you want to look at why you're triggered by that or why that's affecting you in that way? You know?
It's pretty cool because when I was in Florida visiting one of our friends, Ananda of Love.
Uh-huh.
We went to the beach. We met her, and went to the beach with G and myself. And I watched something play out in her that it plays out in me too, but I never really paid attention to it.
Okay. So
I saw somebody else do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she just started smiling
mm-hmm.
and looking at people, and they would smile back. Of course, you know, it was like it was really beautiful in exchange. But what she was looking at were all the aspects of herself and these people and all the reminders of all the people that she knows
mm-hmm.
energetically changes into that, those
mm-hmm.
people. Then I started doing it. I knew what she was doing because she was trying to explain. She says, oh, that guy and I have a connection. I know him. And I'm thinking, do you know him, or do you know him energetically at a higher level? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And then I understood what she was saying because she explained to me. And I said, then I started doing it too with her. We were just giggling and laughing. People were wondering what the heck we were doing.
Right.
But it was funny that they had monkeys,
mm-hmm.
this little, you guys had these little monkeys.
Yes.
You know how I have monkeys here at the restaurant?
Uh-huh.
And I was telling Ananda, they have monkeys like I have monkeys. And then they had these little Mexican hats and they were drinking margaritas and Coronas.
Yes.
So I wasn't too far from the restaurant, per
mm-hmm.
se, you know,
mm-hmm.
when I was on my trip. And then we just kind of were playing this little, you know, energetic, look at these people, they're very connected to us.
Yeah.
On a spiritual level. And it was really fun. And I do that now. I mean, I do that more. I do it all the time. I never really thought about it. So
mm-hmm.
I had the moment with her. But we didn't pile around and do things. We just had that one encounter. And Anna and I were just there for that moment. And
then
she let us go off to do our thing.
Yeah.
And then I said bye, and that was it. But
right.
It was cool. It was a very powerful time to learn.
You know, if you look at, you know, we're not saying that, you know, this is the way it is, people. We're just saying, you know, what if, you know, that were true, what Iggy just shared. You know, if you try it on for one day, and I'm not evangelizing or anything like that, I'm just saying that it does change your life. It does change your perception. You are not stuck in a story as much. You're more in present time consciousness. You're like, oh my gosh, hey, you know.
Right.
You're more in the creator state. You're like, wow, I created that, you know.
Yeah, it was just funny because when you have the eyes and the ears and the heart, when you open it up
mm-hmm.
and you want to when you have receiving mode.
Yes.
It's amazing.
What comes into
yeah.
your life? What comes your way?
Let's move on to the next caller.
Definitely.
And see where they're at in the receiving
sure.
mode.
Okay.
773-787, you're on the air. Hello, hello?
Yes, I was just listening to your show, enjoying what you were saying.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
What is your name?
I'm Teresa.
Teresa, welcome.
Welcome, Teresa.
Did you have a question or did you want to share with us what's on your mind?
Well, just listening and a lot of times when what good you say for other people, it's like it applies to me, and I was just listening, and it was the first time that I have, you know, called in to your, you know, program.
Sweet.
Thank
we appreciate
you for tuning
you.
In.
That's awesome. Yeah, would you like a card?
Yeah, if you want to.
Sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, as long as you want one, I'll give you one.
Okay.
Well, spirit's rolling. All right, here we go.
Thank you.
All right, I pulled the badger card. The badger card represents perseverance, dig in and see it through to completion. Spirit saying to whatever you're working on, don't give up on it, stay focused with it, and, you know, just you have that energy where you don't give up, you don't quit. So they're just, it's just a reminder, just get down in there and get in the dirt a little bit. You can always take a shower later, but the badger's a cool little animal, you know, he's not afraid of anything. No, you know, they just go. So that's what I pulled up. Rose, you got anything?
Yeah, I just feel your energy just being very, very hopeful at this point. You're shifting, something's shifting in you where you're reconnecting to feelings of being hopeful again. And I'm not sure if you've gone through some kind of challenging time in your life, but I really feel that you have some beautiful angels by your side, because every time you laugh, they're laughing right with you. So I pulled a card for you, but I'm getting a different reading for you at this moment. So angels are reminding me to share with you that when you lift your heart with laughter and you lift your heart with love, that you always be on the right path. Know that that's your sign to follow. Reconnect with the angels. Somehow you have a connection with working with angels. So they're with you always, and they're lifting you. So, it's really cool.
Yeah, really beautiful energy.
Thank you.
I can feel it over the feel it over the internet here.
Yeah.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
We'll put
so
you on,
much.
Put you on mute. Keep listening to the show.
Keep
here.
Keep listening.
Thanks
Don't
for
forget
me.
About connecting with your guides and your angels. Okay. Thank you.
That's nice. I'm glad when you're happy with the
Well, I could feel it in her heart. The angel's just like, yes, keep on reinforcing that she's right on the right. What you're saying on the path, on the
that's being on the path is important for a lot of people, but for some people it's not important.
Yeah.
You know, I run into a person that I know who finds that sometimes veering from the path is good.
Well, it's interesting because I find that when I find I'm trying to stay on the path, I feel very ego-focused. I feel very, like, ego-driven. That's my mind. It's goal-oriented. But the path is really about the journey. It's about the moment. It's really a very interesting dichotomy in the fact that, yes, we're on a journey, but the journey also says stay in the moment.
Right.
So it's like there's no destination.
And there are many paths on this journey.
Absolutely. And it's about... And the way I look at it, and the way I kind of evolved through my spirituality, I have a general idea of a path. The path is like in my heart. It's what resonates with my soul.
Right.
And I live it moment by moment because, you know, the way I look at it is that's the guide. That's my guide to keep me on a, let's say, path, if you will. It's not like a paved path. The path could be a trail. I could be maybe a trailblazing a new path for myself, which I've done recently in my life. So, again, the path is a little different for me. The way I look at the path, it's not so, like, linear, if you will.
Right.
It's not like destination A, then B. Maybe I have to go to A, then A1, and maybe Z. Then it might be a circular, might be a spiral.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily the destination where I used to be focused back in the day on an actual goal. Like a goal, like I had to want to reach a goal, which is good. But I don't know, spirituality is not necessarily a goal kind of thing. I realize the things of the soul is about the experience, having, being connected. If I had to like be path-driven in this example, I would say that my best target for a path would be to feel, be connected with my emotions. Both the positive emotions, which are love, joy, happiness, all that stuff, even the scary emotions like fear, pain and, you know, shame, and getting to know those as well and not being afraid of them. That would be, if I had any path, that would be kind of a path, if you will.
Yeah, it's funny because somebody asked me the other day what religion I was. I said, I don't really have a religion. I said, I'm more of a spiritualist. I believe in spirituality more than anything, that everything is part of me, you know. You are part of me.
Right.
And it was kind of hard for them to, you know, because some people like to know, are you Christian, Muslim,
whatever. Structure? What's the structure?
The structure for me, the structure of being one with everything is actually probably more...
Rigorous?
Rigorous, because at every aspect,
yeah.
I have some play in that.
I think it's a very high level of accountability in the sense that there is no escape. You cannot be not a part of life.
Right.
You have, it's like this chair I'm sitting in. It's like it creates a moment of consciousness that says, you know, I am the chair. This chair supports me. This chair serves me.
Right.
You know, I am like one with the chair.
Yeah.
So there's no separation. And that is, when you remind yourself that keeps you pretty conscious, I think. Keeps you conscious in a way that it doesn't create the separatism. It doesn't create this me, then you, us, mine's better than yours kind of
right.
scenario.
Yeah.
So, I'm better than you are. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, Rose and I are siblings, if you didn't know that, folks out there.
We are.
She's my sister.
Yeah, definitely. We've been brother and sister in the past. I think in recent past, I don't
mm-hmm.
know if I've shared this, but yeah, I think that we've possibly been twins at one time. We're very connected in a way sometimes.
Yeah, I can see that.
So,
because we've been mistaken for twins many times.
Yeah.
Even when we were little, you wanted to be me, so.
Yeah, or maybe my parents wanted to make another version of you.
maybe a prettier version.
Because it's funny, because his name is Ignacio. His full name is Ignacio.
Mm-hmm.
And our parents are from Peru, and his nickname was Nacho. And our parents still call him Nacho. So I guess somehow, I don't know how this happened, but my nickname was Nacha.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Nacho, Nacha. And they thought that was so cute. Kind of like, instead of matching clothes, they had matching kind of like off names a little bit. So
yeah, they
kind of dressed us the same a little bit.
They used to call you Nacho because you wanted to be called Nacho. Oh, Nacho.
Well, isn't that,
they said you can't be Nacho.
But isn't that weird how I wanted to be you?
Yeah, they told remember on the story, my mom goes, you can't be Nacho, he's Nacho. We'll call you Nacha.
Well, it's interesting. I don't know if you know this. Well, you remember this story. Well, of course, you lived it. When you were conceived, there were supposed to be two of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you lost your little huevito. Well,
my little huevito,
maybe,
big brother.
Egg brother,
sister.
His sister.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Well, I couldn't escape me. Sorry. I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
But
yeah, mom.
Yes.
I actually got to see light. Before I was actually born. Was I born?
No, you weren't technically born because you didn't take your first breath.
Okay. Well, okay, thanks. That'll. I feel much better now.
Uh-huh.
But I did see light.
So you say. Are you
sure?
I saw
light.
That was probably the light within.
I saw light. And then going back into the dark again was kind of weird.
Uh-huh. That explains everything, people. From light to dark to light, that just kind of messed them up.
I set myself up for this.
Again, that's my brother, so I can pick on him. Everyone else, if you want to pick on him too, I give you permission.
Might not be so nice. No, I'm just... I want to thank everybody for tuning in today.
Absolutely.
And sharing with us. Hopefully the universe has touched you, how it's touched us today.
Yeah.
And every day and every day.
The universe is always touching me. What
and,
is that?
It flows through us, in us, with us constantly.
Absolutely. I'm grateful that it's flowing. Absolutely. And sometimes I wonder why. Wow, that's weird. But not.
We definitely want to thank our listeners and our callers
who
called in. Because, this is why we're together on this show, because
mm-hmm.
you take time out of your busy schedules to listen to us, and we listen to you and share.
Yeah,
we're all about sharing here.
I'd like to definitely hear what's on people's hearts and their minds and so forth. You want to pull a card for the end of the day
or
the end of the show?
Today with a beautiful card.
Okay.
The Dove, Serenity, slow down, pause, and breathe. Did you know you were breathing until I told you?
I knew you were going to pull that card. So I started breathing ahead of time.
Funny. There are no coincidences.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, thanks, folks, for tuning in. We really appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon. We'll be here next week.
Next week.
I always say, ho'oponopono.
It's all love.
And, like they say, it's the end of the world as we know it.
We know it.
reporter.